On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing conditions inside Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake Schools, the state's juvenile correctional facility, and the recent release of the 13th Court Monitor Report. As of Friday's census, the State Corrections Department reports Lincoln Hills houses 59 juvenile inmates, Copper Lake 13, and the monitors 33-page report notes the population trending upward and significantly increasing over recent months. Join in on conditions at the youth prison and juvenile justice, 800-642-1234. Tim Muth is a staff attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin. Tim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. I'm glad to be here, and thanks again to Wisconsin Public Radio for following this story over the past several years, because it's really important.
What did you learn from this new 13th report?
What we learned is that Lincoln Hills and the Copper Lake School for Girls in Northern Wisconsin, which is our one juvenile incarceration facility in the state, are having significant challenges in the number of staff that they are able to keep and retain there at Lincoln Hills. And their response to that has been to confine youth to their cells for greater and greater periods of time during the day, so that now youth are confined to their cells for as long as 21 hours per day. And that's a significant fallback from improvements that we had seen following the resolution of the suit that the ACLU and the Juvenile Law Center brought against Lincoln Hills in 2017.
Give us a better sense of the staffing problem. How short-staffed is Lincoln Hills?
Yeah, the monitor's report found that there is a 40% vacancy rate in what they call youth counselors. We might call them guards. There's almost a 50% shortage of teachers, because Lincoln Hills has a school. Youth who are incarcerated there are entitled to have the right to be educated, but there's a 50% shortage in teachers, 50% open positions, and a 67%, two-thirds, shortage of social workers, the staff who work with the youth on behavioral issues, on their anger management, those kinds of issues. So the shortages of staffing are really very severe up at the facility in Merrill.
I made the assumption that because during the pandemic that we saw the census, the population at Lincoln Hills trending downward, judges not sending young people there in their sentences, that I imagined that there would be more staff per inmate. But that is not what the monitor's report reflects.
No, and I think what we're seeing is part of a problem that exists across the Department of Corrections facilities. So there are very high levels of staffing shortages, not just at Lincoln Hills, but also at the adult facilities across the state. And I think the staffing shortages partly reflect as well challenges that employers have in all sorts of fields in our state and across the country these days. We hear about employers having trouble finding people. So as there has been a turnover at Lincoln Hills, they have been unable to replace staff. Guards with new hires. I do believe that the Department of Corrections is trying hard to do that. They don't want to be short-staffed. They have the approval to hire people, but they haven't been able to, and that's having serious consequences on the youth that are there. And you know, the bigger problem, Kate, is that we shouldn't be in this position at all. Lincoln Hills was supposed to be closed by 2022. There wasn't supposed to be a youth prison in northern Wisconsin once we got to 2022, when we should have had smaller regional facilities. That's what a bipartisan group of our legislature and our Republican governor all agreed to back in 2018. And yet here we are with Lincoln Hills still open.
And I just want to make note that the Corrections Department told us in a statement over the weekend that they've recently increased wages significantly for security staff and that they're taking other steps to attract new staff and keep experienced workers because, as you mentioned, the job market is so competitive. But I would imagine, Tim, that will take time.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not just hiring somebody. I mean, these are positions that require training. You just can't have somebody walk in off the street and expect them to be able to be a youth counselor, a guard in a facility like this. But I want to make sure that the point is clear that just filling all of the vacancies is not, in our view, you know, the position or what the Department of Corrections and bigger picture, the entire youth justice system needs to do. What we need to do is not be sending youth up there. We need to develop the diversion programs, the community-based programs, the local community facilities, because even if you filled all of those positions, Lincoln Hills would still be a prison, and youth should not be in prisons.
Talking about conditions at Lincoln Hills Estates Juvenile Youth Prison with Tim Muth. He is a staff attorney with the ACLU of Wisconsin and responding to the latest court-ordered monitoring report. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Roman is with us from Genoa City. Roman, hi. What would you like to bring up?
I did a little time back in the day in Illinois when I was a juvenile. And how they did it, they send you to a diagnostic center in Joliet, and then they ship you out. If you're a minor, they say you go to Charlestown. And if you're 16 or older, they send you to camps. All these state parks, they need people to work them. And they put 30, 40 so-called delinquents, and they work the parks. And they had one, prison for the juvenile killers, but that was Sheridan, Illinois. But Illinois is a much bigger state, and they have these small little camps, and they work the juveniles. You're not locked up. I mean, they should be outside working.
Roman, thank you. Tim, what do you make of Roman's assessment of putting youth to work at sites around the state?
So I'm not familiar with, you know, the specific programs Roman was talking about in Illinois, but I think the point is important that there can be a variety of different kinds of programs and settings depending on the specific needs of the youth. And Ronan talked about at the beginning that there was a diagnostic setting, a assessment of what are the needs of a particular youth, what needs to be addressed to get this youth back on the right course. And that's a really important part of the entire process. Wisconsin lacks sufficient options. I mean, what you hear from judges in the juvenile justice system is, you know, they send youth to Lincoln Hills often because they don't have other options available to them as places to place youth place boys and girls who are at a particular stage in the system. So we need more options, and we need that kind of assessment of what is the best level of the best setting for a given boy or girl caught up in the system.
You mentioned the monitor's report detailing the use of operational room confinement at the facilities. How is this type of confinement different from solitary that the ACLU took issue with in its lawsuit over Lincoln Hills?
Well, there's no difference. I mean, operational confinement just means you're not being confined because you did something wrong. The solitary confinement they were using when we brought the suit was used as a form of punishment. But in either case, it is a youth, you know, and there are youth as young as 13 and 14 at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake being locked into a small room by themselves for 20 or 21 hours per day.
Mm. What does that do to a young person?
The studies are clear that there are negative, serious negative psychological and emotional effects on youth when you have that. The other thing that's happening is you're being cut off from the different kinds of programming at Lincoln Hills. The monitor's report talks about, you know, the school and the gymnasium in the school and a unit converted for games and activities and a music studio. And all those things are at Lincoln Hills, but the youth are not getting the advantage of them because they're being locked in their cells for 21 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So you can have all sorts of great infrastructure, but if because of the lack of security staff, you're not letting youth out of their rooms, they're not getting the access to the programs, the access to the facilities that they need to improve their situation.
ACLU of Wisconsin staff attorney Tim Muth providing analysis and reaction to the 13th Court Monitor report of Lincoln Hills came out earlier this month. Join in on your reaction to the report, questions about conditions inside the youth prison, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment for more State Cap with Tim Muth here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with ACLU of Wisconsin staff attorney Tim Muth. More than 60 youth prisoners and staff of Lincoln Hills were interviewed by the court-ordered monitoring team. Their site visit was limited to one day in May. Monitor's report came out earlier this month, and the monitoring is the result of a 2017 class action lawsuit brought by the ACLU of Wisconsin. Join in 800-642-1234. Tim Muth with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to a caller in Milwaukee, works for the Department of Corrections and doesn't wish to give their name. Please go ahead, Milwaukee.
Good morning. So I have a team of people who have been watching this information all along, and we want to create better facilities for the youth and alternative programming which will address these needs in a much better way. We have been working on gathering the people that we feel would be most useful and helpful in this process, from security officers to counselors and everything in between. And just getting people that are like-minded without some of the issues that we have with unqualified officers, I guess you could say. But we don't know where to go from here. We've been kind of working on this slowly, trying to put together some information and get, you know, the people together and make sure we have the right people in mind. But we haven't taken the steps to find out what is it that we have to do with the state. Who do we contact? Where are the funds for this type of thing? And I'm hoping maybe this person can give us some direction to start in that way.
Thank you for that call. Tim, what would you say about people working internally trying to build consensus on alternative programs?
So there are efforts at a variety of different levels. There's an organization in Milwaukee, Youth Justice Milwaukee, which does a lot of great advocacy in this area. I believe the governor has a task force that was working on this issue. It is not that people do not want to make improvements. For example, I'm absolutely convinced that, you know, the superintendent at Lincoln Hills doesn't want to use operational confinement and have youth confined for 21 hours a day. But we're sort of in this situation right now of the labor shortage following the pandemic, the increasing population at Lincoln Hills, given the lack of other options. So there are a variety of task forces and groups working on this. The Milwaukee County court system has task forces and working groups as well. But one of the things your listeners may not be aware of is the way the finances work for this system that we have. So if a county, take Milwaukee County, sends a youth to Lincoln Hills, the county is responsible for paying a daily charge relating to that youth. And that daily charge is $1,150 a day, or $400,000 a year, just for one youth. So if Milwaukee County were to send three fewer youth up to Lincoln Hills, that would be $1 million more available in Milwaukee County for youth programming. And it's such a crazy system. I mean, to send $1,000 a day up to Lincoln Hills where they don't have the staff, they don't have the programming currently. Whereas you think about, you know, $400,000 per youth, you could buy a lot of programming, get a lot of qualified people to work with a single youth just for $400,000. So it's such a crazy financing system that we have in place, and all the economic incentives ought to be keep the kids closer to home, load them up with services that will help them get on the right track, help them deal with the issues they're facing in their lives that have gotten them on the wrong side of the law. The money is there. It needs to be deployed better.
Why is the cost that high? You know, just being taken aback by roughly $1,100 a day. Where are these dollars going?
Sure. I mean, the reason those costs have skyrocketed do have to do with the declining population at Lincoln Hills compared to, say, what it was in 2015, 2016, before we started the lawsuit. You have all the fixed costs of running a prison, you know, the security, the cost of the facility, et cetera. And it's being divided up on a per capita basis, a mm-hmm. per incarcerated youth basis, with a smaller and smaller group. And so the costs of running a prison have not declined nearly as rapidly, or hardly rapidly at all, compared to what was, I mean, it's been at least a 50% decline in the population of the prison since we started our lawsuit in 2017.
So we saw the approval last session at the 11th hour of a $42 million facility in Milwaukee County. How do you feel about the prospects of this new facility, and can a new facility fix what has gone wrong with youth incarceration in the past?
Well, there needs to be more than one facility put in Milwaukee County. I mean, we're talking about a statewide issue. Mm-hmm. There is always a problem when you're talking about correctional facilities of the not in my backyard resistance. There are local groups who, you know, whenever a particular site is proposed, the, mm-hmm. the most, the closest people object to it.
Tim, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you again for the attention that your show and Wisconsin Public Radio has paid to this issue over these years, and mm-hmm. please keep paying attention.
Tim Muth, staff attorney with the ACLU of Wisconsin. The Corrections Department declined to come on but did provide a statement that said in part that the 13th Monitor report shows progress in key areas, and that the department and facility leadership will continue to make every effort to ensure as many youth as possible are safely out of their rooms from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. We have a link to the latest Monitor's report. It's at WPR.org/mornings. This is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.